We start this program today with whistleblowing. Last week, we brought you highlights of a Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Oversight hearing about new whistleblower legislation. Federal News Radio's Max Kakis was there. He's got a report on federalnewsradio.com that says the bill the Senate's looking at provides a mandatory process to review retaliatory security clearance revocations and suspensions, protection for scientific disclosures, and whistleblower protection for national security workers. One of the controversies about this bill revolves around jury trials, and one of the witnesses testifying about that issue is here to explain it to us. Bill Bransford, an attorney with Shaw Bransford, Vayu and Roth. You hear him Friday on Fed Talk every Friday morning at 11, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And he was testifying at that hearing as general counsel for the Senior Executives Association, and he's my guest today in that role. Bill, welcome back to the program. Nice
Thank
to have
you, Francis.
You.
Francis, good to be here.
Now, tell us about the jury trial provision, first of all, and then we'll get into your stance on that as what the SEA thinks about it.
Yeah, there are two bills, Francis. There's a House bill that would provide whistleblower protection, actually enhancements to the whistleblower protection law, and there's a Senate bill, and the Senior Executives Association fully supports the Senate bill. In the House bill, there is a provision that is not in the Senate bill, which would provide that any person who becomes a whistleblower, who calls themselves a whistleblower and files a complaint with the Office of Special Counsel or the Merit Systems Protection Board, waits 180 days, can file an action in U.S. District Court and demand a jury trial on the whistleblower reprisal allegation and obtain damages up to an unlimited amount, compensatory damages. And so that's the provision we have concerns about. And that, like I said, is in the House bill. It has passed or it has been introduced in the House, but it passed the House last Congress, a very similar bill. And it's now being considered in the House. And the Senate bill also passed the Senate last Congress, and you know, the hearing dealt with all of the issues in the Senate bill, but also dealt with whether the Senate should consider amending its bill to include the jury trial provision.
And what specifically is the objection of the SEA to the jury trial concept?
Well, when you think about it, you know, the jury trial, provision applies as a remedy for a whistleblower who claims reprisal, but it's against the government. And if you think about the federal government and subjecting itself to jury trials, it just doesn't happen, with the one exception being EEO, and that change occurred in 1991. So it's a major deal. The Federal Tort Claims Act, contract claims, all sorts of other claims that citizens and other companies can bring against the government, you go in and you decide your case with a judge. A judge decides it. So when we have a jury trial deciding it, that's a major departure for the government. So in addition to that, our concern is that federal managers are going to be a bit more reluctant to deal with problem employees if they're worried that the problem employee will claim to be a whistleblower and try to take the agency into federal court, blaming the manager for whistleblower reprisal.
Is it commonplace, and I know this may be a judgment call, I don't even know if you can comment on it or not, is that a common situation where somebody who is a problem employee tries to make that kind of a claim and claim whistleblower protection?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Francis. The reality is it has not been that common recently, because the whistleblower laws have been changed by court precedent, and the definition of what it means to be a whistleblower has been substantially narrowed. And the result of that is that there's very little whistleblower protection. And I want to make it very clear, because we always get focused on the jury trial issue, the Senior Executives Association absolutely supports whistleblower reform. We absolutely support the Senate bill, and we support the provisions which would reverse, basically, the judicial precedent that narrowly interprets what it means to be a whistleblower, to expand that definition so that there would be more protection. But back 15 years ago or so, when whistleblower protection was more of a reality, there certainly were problem employees, people who are having difficulties on the job, who would then file something with the IG hotline or otherwise make a disclosure, send something up to the Hill, you know, to a congressional committee or to the media, and become a whistleblower just so they could claim that status. Mm-hmm. They would make that part of their case. So I believe that with the change in the law that I think is coming, I hope comes this year, to provide more protection for whistleblowers, I think you're going to see an increase in federal employees who contend that they are entitled to protection under the whistleblower laws. And then the tough question for the MSPB, or if the jury trial provision survives for a jury, is to decide, is this employee a problem employee who deserves whatever's happened to them, or is their performance being downgraded or their misconduct exaggerated as a retaliation because they blew the whistle? And those can be very tough questions. I think it was played out very recently. You know, this is a case that would never come up under whistleblower laws, but the AmeriCorps IG was dismissed by administration officials, and Congress was notified. And he claims it's because he was getting into areas that were uncomfortable for the administration. The administration claims that he was disoriented and confused and was, had a problem being responsive. And so, you know, if you bring a jury trial into the mix, that ultimately that kind of a question can be decided by a jury, I think it does play on the decision-making process, and it works against an efficiently operating government that works.
Bill Bransford of the General Counsel for the Senior Executives Association is my guest. He's also a partner in the law firm Shaw, Bransford, Vayu & Roth. And, Bill, isn't there a fear, though, if you return the whistleblower, the definition of whistleblower, to what it was before, and allow people the same protections, that will go back to that situation that you talked about, where people used to make a whistleblower a claim that was separated from whatever work action they might be under?
Well, sure. I think you're going to see some of that. And you're also, have to recognize that there are, there are legitimate whistleblowers. I mean, we need whistleblowers. Otherwise, if whistleblowers didn't feel that they had at least some sense of protection in the law, that you would have a deterrent to blowing the whistle, and a lot of government waste, fraud, and abuse would never be discovered. So I think it's important to encourage them, and it's also important to have a system that's meaningful, that draws that distinction between the problem employee and the legitimate whistleblower.
I'm wondering if there's some kind of balance that either is in the legislation or that you think maybe should be in the legislation to separate that out, so that we have as many legitimate whistleblowers as we need to have without people being able to abuse the system.
I think that balance is in the Senate bill. I really do, because it greatly expands the definition of what it means to be a whistleblower. For example, under current law, as interpreted by the courts, if you're making a disclosure to your boss of wrongdoing, and then the boss retaliates because they know you're trouble because you see the wrongdoing and you're willing to speak up about it, but then you suffer retaliation, you're not protected. And you're supposed to make the whistleblowing disclosure to someone in a position to correct the abuse or the fraud or the waste or whatever it is you're complaining about. If you are just making a disclosure as part of your job, for example, if you're an auditor in the Inspector General's office and you uncover a large amount of fiscal mismanagement and you disclose that in your report, and somebody gets upset with you because you've disclosed it and you suffer a job action, you're not protected by the Whistleblower Protection Act. I mean, those are two major changes that the law would make.
Bill Bransford is a partner in the law firm Shaw, Bransford, Vayu & Roth, and he's joining me to talk about the testimony he gave in his role as general counsel of the Senior Executives Association at a Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee hearing last week on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back in a moment to continue our discussion on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Are you in sales, or do you own your own business? If so, I want you to think of a number. Think of the amount of money you'd like to make this year. Do you have it? Okay, so what's stopping you? It's not your drive. It's not your skills. Chances are it's your ability to find new leads. It's not easy. But what if someone had already done the work for you? What if with one phone call you could get your hands on as many new sales leads as you could handle and actually make that number you have in your head? It's not too good to be true. It's Sales Genie, the largest provider of the most up-to-date sales leads mailing lists and business credit reports. And they want to give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. No matter what you're selling or who you're selling to, Sales Genie has the sales leads and mailing list you need. And right now, they'll give you 100 sales leads absolutely free. Call Sales Genie at 1-800-600-9721 and get 100 sales leads for free. Call 1-800-600-9721. 1-800-600-9721.
The latest from the Federal Security Spotlight brought to you by Cisco.
The Army is working to defend its networks, but it's not ruling out going after the cyber bad guys. Here's Brigadier General Steve Smith, Chief of the Army Cyber Task Force.
We're concentrating on defense, but in terms of our ability to exploit and attack is something that the Army will continue to develop.
To hear the entire show, log on to federalnewsradio.com. Will the top-of-mind security issues of today be the issues facing government tomorrow? Get the latest from federal experts on FISMA reform, the cyber initiative, how government is combating botnets, spyware, and other cyber evils, and more. Listen to Federal Security Spotlight, sponsored by Cisco, airing Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. or on demand at federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Security Spotlight is brought to you by Cisco, the leader in federal IT security.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED.
Our military, brought to you by DuPont.
Since World War II, only two women have been awarded the Silver Star. The most recent, 19-year-old specialist Monica Brown, for her gallant actions during combat in Afghanistan. The Army says the Texas native put herself in the direct line of fire to help save wounded soldiers. Brown joined the Army at 17 because her brother had joined and she didn't want him to be alone. Compassion, bravery, professionalism. That's our military.
DuPont has been supplying the U.S. military for more than 200 years. From this experience comes products that help save lives, like DuPont Kevlar and Nomex fibers that provide protection from bullets and fire, and protective garments made of DuPont materials that help shield against chemical and biological threats. DuPont continues to invest in new technologies and the capacity to help protect even more people over the next 200 years. Learn more. Visit usgovernment.dupont.com. usgovernment.dupont.com.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Bill Bransford, General Counsel of the Senior Executives Association, and we're talking about whistleblower legislation in the Senate and the House, two different bills, one in each chamber. And, Bill, where do these bills stand right now, timeline-wise?
Well, they're in committee, and once the committee considers them, the committees will refer them out, and then it's up to the leadership in both the House and the Senate to take up the bills on the floor. I expect that that will probably happen sometime this year. The problem is what's going to happen in conference. First of all, I would expect that there's going to be a senator or two who votes or who moves to amend the Senate bill to add the jury trial provision, and then the full Senate will have to make a decision on that. If the Senate passes it without the jury trial, then it goes to a conference committee. That difference will be ironed out in conference, and the president has to decide how he feels about jury trials, because I don't think he's actually taken a position. That came out at the hearing on week before last, and the president has to feel about that, and he may weigh in, and you know, then he'll sign the bill or veto it.
The Justice Department official that was present at the hearing testifying on behalf of the agency indicated that they didn't have a position one way or the other, and that's, I imagine, what you're referring to.
The same concern that SEA has about jury trials is one of the factors that's under consideration.
This is a little bit more of an urgent concern, I imagine, for the Senior Executives Association this time around than it was when this has been considered in the past, because the Bush administration said pretty much whatever happens, we're going to veto it anyway.
They would have vetoed either bill.
And so it didn't matter
right. What
came out, and as it turned out, because of that, a bill never went to President Bush's desk. It's a little different this time because the Obama administration has indicated that they're at least open to the idea of signing something like this. So does that mean to you folks that it's more important that it's done right this time?
Well, I always hope that it would be done right. And one of the things I commented on at the hearing was that, you know, we need reform. It's been a long time since this judicial precedent has kept whistleblowers from from being protected. And the reality is that when somebody experiences whistleblower reprisal, they don't even think of going to the Office of Special Counsel because the help has been pretty non-existent. So there needs to be some reform. I worry about the existence of jury trials and what that will mean for federal managers who already are burdened by not being adequately trained, being promoted into managerial jobs as a result of being the best technician often, already have EEO complaints to deal with. They already are frequently concerned about whether their higher-level manager will support them as they try to deal with problem employees. And there's a lot of dynamics in the workplace now that prevent some federal managers from dealing effectively with problem employees. Adding the sensationalism and uncertainty of whistleblower jury trials to the mix, I think will just paralyze them further.
Yeah, you mentioned something that I think doesn't get covered a lot, and that is the idea that the first one of these that would go to a jury trial is going to be all over the trades. It's going to be all over federal news radio, front page of the newspaper, and so on.
And especially if it's a multi-million-dollar verdict.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of publicity for it, and there's going to be efforts to hold the manager who is responsible accountable and perhaps make them a scapegoat when it's a case that, if it went to the MSPB, might be a lot closer in a decision. And then it's just going to have a real chilling effect on the rest of federal management.